Hello and welcome to the podcast, Old Friends and New, put on by the Christ Church Ladies Fellowship here in Moscow, Idaho for the Bible Reading Challenge. My name is Catherine Church. Well, I'm sure you're in the same boat that we are, which is crazy busy Christmas and preparations and Advent activities and all the wonderful things that come this time of year. But it's easy to jump in on the to-dos and let Bible reading slip. I need to get mine in for today yet. But the audio Bible is a huge gift with this because we can literally turn it on speakerphone and stick it in our back pocket while we're wrapping presents or doing dishes or running errands and be fed spiritually in order to be able to pour out cheerfully and joyfully for others. And that's just a huge blessing to have that audio option. We're also hoping to come out with our next issue of Crowd Sailing in the next little bit. So keep your eye out for that. There's a bunch of fun Christmas stuff in there. Today on the podcast, we have Rachel Jankovic, Julie Heisick, and Christine Cohen. Rachel Jankovic, I'm sure you know, she spearheaded the Bible Reading Challenge. She and her husband Luke have 7 kids here in Moscow. And Julie Heisick, she has done barbell coaching for a bunch of women, and it's been really encouraging and fun to see and do. She and her husband have 4 kids here in Moscow. And Christine Cohen and her husband have 3 kiddos. They own a restaurant in town. And Christine just published her first book, The Winter King, through Cannonball Books, and it's fantastic so far. We're barely started, but it's already great. So these ladies will chat with you today.
Hit it. That's a great way to start this. Good morning. Welcome to the Bible Reading Challenge Facebook Live. I'm Rachel Jankovic.
I'm Julie Heisick.
I'm Christine Cohen.
And we're here at Julie's house. Julie, stay in the picture.
It's all backwards, so I keep leaving the wrong way.
I know. I thought you were pointing at me.
No, it's flipping our image, so I was going to say there. Oh, no, it does work. That's so weird. Well, whatever, guys. You don't need to know our problems. So anyways, we've been enjoying the reading of 1 Samuel, and I was just telling them before we started that I've been reading. I like a paper Bible more, but I've been reading on my phone first thing in the morning, and it's still dark here because it's that time of year, and that's like a completely different thing. That's like, to me, that's like the worst of all possible environments to be reading the Bible. It's like on a glowy screen.
You're straining your eyes.
In the dark. And yet.
Or by the fire.
And yet that really imperfect moment that I have is so much better than waiting around for the perfect
moment.
What this would have been a nice moment in your living room with the sun coming in.
I know.
Not the one that I had. You mentioned something jumped out at you in the review.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Tell us.
Okay. Well, so I'm doing, I'm in an MFA program. I'm writing a paper on the book of Esther. And so when reading through 1 Samuel, I noticed something, which is, this is one of those like fabulous connections that you make when you're reading through quickly, that in Esther, so you have Haman, you have Mordecai, who is a descendant of Saul. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. And then you have Haman, and he is actually a descendant of, he's an Amalekite. He's a descendant of Agag. It doesn't even call him an Amalekite, which is really interesting. It calls him an Agagite. Huh. Like, they really want you to make, it's the one time that phrase is ever used. Yeah. It's like they want you to make that connection. But then when we were reading 1 Samuel yesterday, I think like chapter 15 or something, where Saul is told to go and kill all of the Amalekites, and then he does, but he keeps Agag alive, and the Lord is displeased, and Samuel hacks him to pieces before
and
the Lord.
And things come around.
I know. And so
things come around.
It's like this thing that Saul was supposed to do, and he did not fulfill it, and then later on in the story, you have a descendant of Saul fulfilling and doing what
and
was
doing
supposed
what,
to.
What his... Yeah. What his fathers should have
exactly
done.
And what's also so interesting is that, like, it's such a, the story of Haman and Mordecai is a microcosm of this greater, like, eternal struggle between the Amalekites and the Israelites, that had just been going on for so long, but connection
that's
cool. Never made.
No, that's super cool.
I know.
I kept thinking, although this hasn't been so much in 1 Samuel, but in our recent readings, I kept thinking how the people, when they're disobeying God, how often they could have thought they were being compassionate. Do you know what I mean? Like, that the disobedience was like, I just don't think it's real reasonable for us to do. Like, we shouldn't go that far, Lord. You know, like, where they're holding back on their obedience. And I think that we're not out needing to actually physically kill the enemies of God. But we do the exact same thing with, like, well, it wouldn't be compassionate to cut off a believer who's living in open sin. Like, it wouldn't be compassionate to say,
so dramatic.
You're not acting like a Christian, and I will no longer treat you like one. You know, like, and of course, I'm not trying to get into the nuances of church discipline, but I just mean there are so many things that God does command that we intervene with our own compassion. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, you say, like, well, what would have obedience have spared people, right? Like, how, like, obedience was not less compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been far more compassionate.
Right.
You know, like,
it's like so much of reading the Old Testament, I feel like, is learning to align our ideas of what compassion is, what justice is, all of those things are with what God says it is, mm-hmm. rather than what our emotions might say that they are, you know.
I was thinking about this morning because I've been thinking about you can all look forward to when I finally get this thought out and my cartoons about Bible reading posture come to be. But the thing I was thinking about is how when you're frustrated, when you're reading the Bible and you're like, I don't understand, why would God tell them to kill all those people? Or why would God want this? Or why did God want this? And how often we are frustrated sort of with our own lack of understanding. You know, you're kind of just like, I don't get it. And we end up leaving it sort of disgusted. And I was thinking about how much that's, if you're reading your Bible to try to find out about you, that's going to be your response. But if you're reading your Bible to try to learn about God and to know God, then those things that don't really make sense to you, well, does it surprise you that you don't actually comprehend the depth of God's, like, when you're thinking about, I don't get it, then why would you be like, that's really weird that I don't understand everything that God is and how he's revealing himself. Well, it's really obvious that we won't understand it when you think of it being God revealing himself to us. It's like, we'll understand something, but there's no way are we going to understand.
Right.
We can't comprehend the depth of the holiness and the righteousness and the purposes. We can't. And so I was just thinking about how anytime you're frustrated by not getting it, it's because somewhere in there you're reading about yourself. You're reading to try to find out about you in some way. And you're like, I don't like this news that I don't understand it.
Yeah. And I also think, it's a very good lesson in humility for us to recognize that we will not understand this and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than feeling like something's wrong or broken because we're not understanding everything fully.
It's kind of like it's an appropriate amount of respect for God that we're not going to understand all of this.
If we could understand it all, then that would put us on a very different level than what we are.
Yeah. And then I think that there's a weird idea that people who are really like Christian, like the people who really know their Bible, that we're thinking of them as being way, way, way ahead of us when it's like, no, we're actually all together way, 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 way smaller than God. And that there's no reason to get like frustrated with your place in that.
No, and it's the humility to say, oh, okay, so my feelings are not lining up with this.
Yes.
Like, this is how God is laying it out.
That would never happen, Julie.
This is how we think. Never happen. This is how we're supposed to feel about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have to be, I think that it's definitely true about humility, but it is also true that the reward for that humility is such a deeper relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that it's not the humility of being like, I'll never understand him. It's that the humility of... It's actually the humility as a result of understanding him better.
Right?
Like the more you comprehend it, the more you get your, it's like a really, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think that's a really.
It goes in around on itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about the holidays coming, ladies?
Yes. Well, because it's December and.
They are coming fast.
Things are wildly.
Are you sure?
Just wildly speeding along. I have also been reading in just kind of. Not my usual thing, but I've been doing the audiobook in the morning when I put on my makeup or when I'm curling my hair. And I actually have been loving it because it's such a different experience, but it does feel so much like a story that you're soaking in.
Well, like this section especially of Samuel. The Old Testament is really good for that. Stories. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't notice. Isn't it funny when something you're like, I know I've read that a ton of times, mm-hmm. but right. I don't, or maybe I just forgot it a ton of times. Mm-hmm. But the beginning with Saul, you're so, it feels so optimistic.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
it feels like a very different Saul.
Oh, he's yeah. taller than all the other men and he's the one. And, you know, Samuel found him. And then you're like, why is he hiding in the baggage? Like, what's going on? But then I think it's interesting with his character, how that beginning, he is really humble. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. he is kind of like, and he doesn't even tell his family that happened. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like, when he's like, he goes, he just mentions the donkeys or whatever. He's like, I'm not even going to talk about that. But by the time it comes around to his conflict with David, he's so grabby mm-hmm. for his authority mm-hmm. and so like, I am the Lord's anointed. Yeah. I will be the one doing this.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting how fast that character beats progression is.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to, I have never really looked at like the dates in 1 Samuel, but like how quick does that progression happen? Is it over a few years yeah. or is it 10 years?
Yeah.
Or
there's not, quite a bit of time for battling.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. But it's not, it doesn't seem very long into it before he's resenting yeah. Saul has yeah. slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And he's yeah. like, what?
Yeah. But I think why that is one of the funny that? Things about reading it so quickly is sometimes it can feel like things are happening really fast when yeah. maybe a decade has gone by yeah, and you right. think of how much we change in a decade and yeah. How like unconfessed sin can make you in a decade go from being
change
someone
some stuff.
Who's humble yeah. to grasping and trying to impale
right.
people
and
play music.
I know. It's a kind of, Saul is a sad story. I'm always sad about Saul.
I know.
That and the one that is incomprehensible to me is always Samson. Because mm-hmm. I cannot understand yeah. why he's telling her. Like, why are
I
you
know.
Like
yeah.
that?
Every time. Through
this. Come on.
This how dumb are you?
Like, well, you're like, didn't she just try to do the thing? I mean, that's
I know,
the thing
like,
I cannot
over,
figure
over
it out.
Again.
I wonder if he just was, if he knew that full well, he was just super confident in himself.
Yeah.
So he was actually yeah. like, he was gambling. And he was okay with it,
yeah.
you know, but anyways,
I know.
These are the things. And this time of year when we get back out, like our Christmas playlists, you know, we don't have that many Christmas songs that we like to listen to. This has happened
yeah.
to other people.
Yeah.
We're like, well, I yeah. want a certain mood from the Christmas song. So we have a somewhat limited Christmas playlist, but I was noticing how, you know, that when you have a playlist, you treat the last note of one song as like the cue to the next one.
Oh yeah.
You know, like where you start yeah. singing the first line of the yeah. next song yeah. and you're like, that's funny mm-hmm. that we've
you
merged them all.
Coming.
That's the thing with reading your Bible frequently and quickly is that you
yeah,
start to
you
connect
start to
things
it.
Where you're like, and now we're going to do this and now mm-hmm, this is mm-hmm. happening and now, and I love that. I yeah. love having it be familiar enough.
Yes. Yeah. And this is also the time of year when you'll probably be the most tempted to put this aside or
yeah.
to get behind and get discouraged and not want to jump back in. But just a word of encouragement that this
it.
Is the time of year when you need the most armor, right?
Yeah.
Like we are in the thick of times when you can feel discontent or stressed or worried or sad or lonely. And like, that's the time when you most need the armor of God.
It.
So like lay
don't
on that
quit.
Thick.
Don't quit. And I actually, oh, go ahead.
Oh, just this cat. Encouraging
yeah.
Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Just stuff it. Like, play it in the car. If
yeah,
someone's
yeah.
watching
right.
the football game, play it louder
make
in the kitchen.
Make it
like,
happen.
Make it happen. Just do it.
I was going to say, because I think this is kind of exciting. So the better you know the Word of God, the better equipped you are to express the infleshing of that Word, which is
mm-hmm.
Christmas. Like, the whole concept
mm-hmm.
that Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. And the more we know the Bible, the more naturally we can use our hands, use our homes, use our songs, use things to express that truth that it was the Son of God and the Word of God made flesh that dwelt among us. And that's what we're celebrating. So
mm-hmm.
of all times, it's not the time to quit thinking about the Word of God.
Right. Of all times.
You're
no,
like, I'm done with the Word. I just want to talk about the infleshing of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, and this is the time to just think, dig in, ladies, and keep it up and way to go. And if you get behind, this is the time to, it's not time to be precious. It's time to jump
mm-hmm.
back in. Just make it happen. Jump back in. And we're so glad to have you all reading with us. It's a real privilege
mm-hmm.
to share this fellowship with all of you.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming. Have a wonderful, it's not Friday yet,
Thursday.
And we'll see you soon. Merry
yeah.
Christmas.
Bye.
Whoops, I missed.